Life on this planet Earth can be pretty tough at times. And I think it would be well for us, in the light of the fact that things get tough on this planet Earth, for us to ask a certain question and seek an answer to it. And that question would go something like this. What's going to keep me going? What is it that's going to cause me not to give up? Have you ever asked that question? And I would like to suggest today that what's going to keep us going, friends, is a lot more than just a beating heart. A lot more than the fact that, well, I'm responsible for them. I've got to stay with it. A lot more than the fact that you're hoping for a paycheck or reputation. I would like to suggest, you see, that one of the main reasons we stick in there and we don't give up and we continue to live for the Lord is to borrow from the future. To borrow from the future. Can you relate to this, friends? If we can't see the future, it makes today pretty desperate. Pretty desperate. Why put up with the challenges of life today if there's no future of hope tomorrow? If there's no promise that there will be the best that's yet to come? What is it, when you think of it, what is it that makes a farmer toil so long and so hard during the summer? I'll tell you what it is. It's the fact that he has a vision of a harvest that he's going to harvest during the fall, right? Friends, all we have to do is to see the promise of the future clearly, and we will do, through God's help, amazing things. The real truth from the Bible that you brought today, and from the Bible that I'm going to preach from today, is what we think about heaven, what we think about the future, determines how we are going to live today. Oh, to be heavenly minded. And with that awesome fact in mind, I want to invite you to join me as you turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter, the third chapter. Peter ends his second letter, coming to the very end of his letter, and he ends it with a question. And I'm going to look at this question with you today. He has just described the destruction of the world that you and I know today, that you and I live on today. He's just described the destruction of that world. And the end of his description of this world, Peter, in verse 11 of 2 Peter chapter 3, asks this question. Notice it with me. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, just imagine it. Can you imagine it? Everything that is within us, around us, is going to be dissolved. What manner of persons ought you to be? We'll stop there for a moment. Did you notice this question that he's asking? Not what manner of persons ought you to be in the future. No. The question is, what manner of person should you and I be, or ought we be, in the here and the now? This is the question. This is the very heart of our discussion today. And that is, how should we live now in the light of what we know and what we believe about the future? Now, the next few verses in 2 Peter chapter 3, the Apostle Peter, he's going to be straight with us. He's going to share with us in straightforward language what kind of people we ought to be. So I want to have you and encourage you to keep your Bibles open to 2 Peter chapter 3. Keep your bookmark there. It might be even your bulletin, because we are going to go to other passages of Scriptures as well. I have come to believe with all my heart that if you and I are to believe all that God has given to us in Jesus Christ right now, in all that He has given to us in Jesus Christ for the future, if we are to believe that, friends, then we have to discipline our minds to be biblical. Our minds to be biblical. Because, you see, we live in a world that does not want your mind to be biblical minded. It does not want that. But God wants us to think biblically. Now, the world that you live in and I live in, it has lots of noises, lots of explosion of information in the media, for example, that assaults our minds and our hearts, and it's not leading us towards biblically thinking. It is, as it were, we don't like to admit it, but it is, as it were, a form of brainwashing. A form of brainwashing. And I want to warn you, and I warn myself, I'm in this with you together. We live here on this earth here. We are going to be drowning in all of this. We will literally drown in all of this if we don't make up our minds about a few things. And when I say and use the expression, make up our minds about a few things, I mean being tough-minded about these things. Tough-minded. And here in 2 Peter chapter 3 are five things that demand our tough-mindedness. Five things that we need to be tough-minded about because we know where we're going. Amen? This world is not our home. We're just passing through. So number one, first of all, we are to be tough-minded about our purity. With your Bibles open to 2 Peter chapter 3, let's read all of verse 11. It says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in, what does it say? Holy conduct and godliness. Do you and I understand God's future plan? Do you understand that his future plan involves the fact that Jesus is going to come again? He's going to come, the second coming of Christ, and he's going to take us home to heaven. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? If you really are holding on to that, if you really believe that, then, my friends, it's going to affect your lifestyle. It is going to affect our whole lifestyle. It will reveal it. And here in verse 11, it indicates that in the light of the future, we are to be a people of holy, what does it say? Holy conduct. Now, if you would circle in your Bibles, I'm so glad that some of you mark your Bibles. Circle the word holy. In the Greek language, the word holy means to be set apart for service for God. That's what the word holy means. And with that in mind, I want you to put your bookmark there in 2 Peter chapter 3, and let's go now to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter addresses, even in his first letter, the same idea. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. Follow as I read this passage. Therefore, in other words, in the light of the times we live in, therefore, in the light of the fact that Jesus is going to come again, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, the revelation of Jesus Christ is his revealing when Jesus comes again, the second coming. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, say it out loud with me, will you? Be holy, for I am holy. Peter tells you and me that we are to be tough-minded about our godliness. About our godliness. And godliness is our inward attitude towards God. Our inward attitude about our God. And if there's one thing that I'm learning and I'm growing to learn as God is helping me to live a godly life, and I've got a lot of growing to do, but one thing I'm learning, it's this, is that it just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen just like that. You don't just fall asleep and wake up the next day and, I'm holy! I'm godly now. It just doesn't happen that way. It takes what I would like to use, a term, grace-motivated effort to be tough-minded about heaven. Grace-motivated effort. Now, the scriptures teach us what kind of effort Is this grace motivated effort towards? I would like to suggest, in harmony with the Word of God, grace motivated effort, tough mindedness about having time alone with God in His Word. Tough minded about taking time talking with the Lord in prayer. Tough minded about sharing our faith in Jesus, in what we have learned about Jesus from His Word. Tough minded about the fact I'm going to come to church and I'm going to fellowship with Christian believers. This is what it means to be tough-minded, friends. Doing the things that we know that cause us to be more godly. The Spirit of God will do this as we cooperate with Him. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles now to Titus chapter 2. You're not very far from Titus. In fact, one of the best ways to find Titus is if you find one T, you found them all. All the T's, 1 Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus, they all start with a T. So if you find one T, you found them all. Titus chapter 2. What we are talking about here, friends, is called the work of sanctification. And I realize for many of us that's a big word, sanctification. I remember as a young man, I'd hear that word sanctification. I'd hear the word justification, and it's just over my head. And I struggle with it. What does it mean? We're talking about sanctification, friends. And I want to simplify it for you. What it means is this, very simply. It means growing up. It means growing up in the Lord. Becoming more and more like Jesus. And I found a very interesting statement Ellen White wrote in Review and Herald way back in 1895. She made this statement, quotes, "The work of sanctification must go on, not by impulse, but by steady, healthy advances, progressing towards," notice the word now, "progressing towards perfection," unquote. Now, I don't know about you, but as I grew up as a Seventh-day Adventist and later became a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, you know about that story. I heard that word perfection and it scared me. And I've come to realize as I've studied the Word of God and as I've understood the Word of God, I have nothing to be afraid of the word perfection. Not at all. But you see, Ellen White used to be a Methodist Christian. And Wesley spoke about the fact that God's people who were preparing for heaven were to strive towards perfection. He used the word again and again and again and again. It's a Methodist word. It comes from Wesley. And he got it. Where did he get it? From the Bible. And the Bible, the word perfection means, very simply, maturity. God is calling us towards perfection. God is calling us to be mature in Jesus Christ. That's what He's calling us. And talking about perfection, talking about maturity in Jesus Christ. Notice now, Titus chapter 2 and verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. This is a message for us as babes in the Lord, as those that are growing in the Lord. God wants us to grow up. In other words, to be tough-minded for heaven, not only does it mean that we're to pursue godliness, but also it involves denying ungodliness, saying no to ungodliness. One of the signs of a growing Christian, growing towards perfection, growing towards maturity, is that we learn to say no to ungodliness. And the facts are, friends, we are exposed to ungodliness everywhere we go. Everywhere we go. A lot of music is ungodly. Do you agree? And with just a few clicks in the computer, we enter into a very ungodly world in the computer. Much of the television and the media is filled with ungodliness. And you add to that participating and listening to gossip and criticism and fault-finding. Friends, this kind of atmosphere breeds ungodliness. It takes our focus off Christ. It takes our focus off our Christian witness. It tarnishes our unity in the body of Christ. Do you see? Do you understand what that you and I need to be tough-minded about this. Tough-minded about seeking to know Christ, tough-minded about being like the one that we're seeking to know. And did you know that one of the great motivators of growing up in the Lord Jesus Christ is the fact that we look to the future, and as we look to the future of hope, it motivates us. Jesus is coming again. I want to get ready. I want to be ready. Amen. And I found it interesting that over and over and over and over again throughout the New Testament, the Holy Spirit associates godliness, holiness, purity with that of the fact that Jesus is coming again. And heaven's homecoming is soon to take place. Now those who say, wait a minute, yeah, knowing about the future doesn't have anything to do about today. If that's their thinking, friends, that just reveals all the more that they are not biblically in their thinking, because the Bible is filled with it. I'm going to do a simple survey just here in a moment. Are you ready for this? Just a simple survey. I want you to notice two things in every passage that I read here in a few moments. And I want you to notice the two things. First of all, the second coming of Jesus Christ. And then the call for holiness. The call for godliness and purity. In other words, I want you to notice how the future, the motivation of the future, motivates us to live now. So, with that in mind, listen. And these texts are noted for you in your sermon outline today. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. So that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also conform you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 3 and verses 4 and 5. When Christ, who is our life, isn't that beautiful? When Christ, who is our life, He is our life. Oh, what a life we have in Christ, our life. When Christ, who is our life, appears, speaking of the second coming, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members, which are on earth. What are they? Fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love one to another and to all, just as we do to you, so that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. And lastly, there's several more, but I just wanted to share these few. 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed that we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him, what do they do? Purifies himself just as He is pure. God's word is clear, isn't it? The pattern is clear, isn't it? God, His promises about the future has an impact on the present. Because of His second coming, where He's going to take us home to heaven, friends, it ought to motivate us to live a godly life now. Amen? Oh, to be heavenly minded. Did you keep your Bibles open to 2 Peter chapter 3? Notice now the second one. 2 Peter chapter 3, and we look at verse 12. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. Here's a verse that we're familiar with. Powerful verse. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. We are to be tough-minded about hastening the second coming of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? We want to hasten His coming. We want Jesus to come. How many times I have expressed to many of you, whether it be when you are in the hospital or in the home, and we're talking about some tragic problem in this world or in your life, and we long for Jesus to come, and I've said to you, do you remember the words? Jesus has just got to come. Jesus has just got to come. Friends, did you know that you can be used to the Lord to hasten His coming? You know how you can do that? You know how I can do that? I'm glad you're thinking that. Let me share with you how. The study of last day events is not some Christian elective in the school of Christ. Oh, my friends, far from it. Peter says that we are to get tough-minded. Tough-minded about knowing Christ. Tough-minded about living for Jesus Christ. And then sharing what we have learned about Jesus Christ with others. And that actually hastens the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, in many of your homes, in my home as well, including my library, just the other side of that room, I have a book called Desire of Ages. I love that book on the life of Jesus. In Desire of Ages 6:33, listen to what the Christian writer says. By giving the gospel to the world, it is in our power to hasten our Lord's return, unquote. Now, what is it that you and I can do to hasten the Lord's return? Share the good news of the gospel. Share what Jesus Christ means to us. Share the preciousness of His Word. That's how we can hasten the Word of God. I want to do a little bit of a quiz here, just a practical test, as it were, to see if you and I are tough-minded about Jesus' second coming. How many of us really mean from our hearts, I want Jesus to come. I long for Jesus to come. Are you ready for this test? By the way, if you're a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church in Sutherland, you are taking this test as I speak. Our preparation for these meetings, our involvement, our taking part in the meetings, getting ready. Some of us says, I'll be a speaker. Oh, and I'm scared, but Lord will be with me. He'll see me through it. Some say, well, I can't speak, but I'll share a brochure. I'll call someone up. I'll send something in the mail. I'll invite them. I'll help and pray. I'll help serve food. I'll help prepare food. I'll invite someone. You're taking part. How are you doing on the quiz, by the way? Do you believe that you really believe that Jesus is coming again? Then you will reveal that in how you share your faith. We all are in this together, friends. We're all in this. We can hasten the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a powerful thought, isn't it? It really is. Now, not only are we to be tough-minded about godliness and tough-minded about hastening the second coming of Christ by sharing our faith, but friends, we also are to be tough-minded about our purpose. Our purpose. And that's number 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14. Everybody get your Bibles open? Here it is. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 14. It says this, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things. Now what things? Well, the things that we've been talking about. The second coming. The heaven above. When heaven, Jesus comes again and takes us to heaven and the new earth. Looking forward to these things. Are you looking forward to these things? Looking forward to these things. Now watch this. Be diligent to be found in Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. As you're marking your Bibles, I would like to ask you to circle, if you would, diligent. Diligent. That word, diligent. To be diligent. Can you relate to what I've been through, what I have experienced? I think you can relate to this. Is there anyone here today who knows how easy it is, as the days go by, the weeks go by, and the months go by, and we forget about our purpose and our mission as a Christian? And then one day we wake up, and we are We're not even aware. We've forgotten what our mission is. We've forgotten what our purpose is. It's in the back burner, as it is. And it's not in active play in our lives. Our minds are on our worldly things. Our minds are on this problem, that problem, that problem. Friends, the Word of God is teaching us here, be diligent. Be diligent. Are you listening? My friends, the truth is, Jesus is alive and well, and He's in heaven above. And the Bible teaches that we're involved with a pre-Advent judgment, a judgment that will take place in heaven just before Jesus comes. And they are going to come to your name and your life and my name and my life. And one of the questions that they will be asking is, as we reveal our faith and the fact that we're putting our trust in Christ our righteousness, they're going to be asking this question, what did they do with their gifts? What did they do with their talents? Keep your bookmarks in 2 Peter chapter 3. And go with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians, the third chapter. You see, what Peter is saying, in the light of the fact that Jesus is coming again, be diligent about your purpose. Be diligent. Friends, you and I cannot always keep on putting them off. Putting them off. Lord, I'll get around to it. I'll get around to it. How many times I've done that? I'll make you my priority, Lord. I'll get around to it. We say that we'll get around to it, but we keep putting it off. We keep putting it off. And God's word to you today, God's word speaking to whose heart it is, I do not know. Only the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart and mine knows. If you are really tough-minded about going to heaven, being ready for heaven, God's word to you today is be diligent about your calling. Be diligent about your calling. Now the Apostle Paul is a great example. He understood that his goal was heaven. He knew that the best is yet to come, and that is heaven, Jesus coming again. And he says this in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. 13 and 14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehend it. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Powerful words, aren't they? What is it that Paul is saying here? I want to put it in the Williams translation. Here it goes. I've had to say no to a lot of the pleasures in the world. I've had to forget about the past when I blew it. But I press forward. I press forward and I focus on Christ, my righteousness by faith. And I get tough-minded about God and what He has called me to do. Amen? That's His message. My friend, I ask you today, are you, am I, tough-minded about His purpose in your life and my life? Well, here's the fourth one. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17. Verse 17, it says this, you therefore, beloved, since you know these things beforehand, and we do, beware lest you also fall from your, what's the word there? Steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. Steadfastness. Circle that word, will you? Steadfastness. We need to be tough-minded about our profession as Christian believers. And Peter cautions us from falling away by being steadfast, sticking in there. Well, let me just, I almost gave it away what it is. What does steadfastness mean? For us as mature, growing Christians, if we're steadfast in our Christian walk, what does that mean? It means this, friends. It means I want to be solid for Jesus Christ. I want to believe not only in Jesus Christ, I want to know why I believe in Jesus Christ and His Word. And nothing will sway us from it. Think about it, friends. As you study your life, take a little spiritual temperature for a minute, as it were. Are you and I a surface Christian, a surface Christian? Or do our roots dig deep into His Word? You know who you are. You know where you're at. By the way, God is not upset with you. He loves you. He wants to meet you where you're at. But He's speaking to you today through His Word. No wind will blow us there or there when we're tough-minded about heaven, when we're steadfast for the Lord Jesus Christ. When someone comes to you, and they will, and they say, well, you are not following all of the truth. When someone comes to you and they knock on your door, and these two men, they say, they come to your door. Or maybe someone even in our very midst of our own church, and they claim that the church is in error. Or the leaders in the church are leading the church towards the world. My friends, am I established in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word that we will know what error is? That we will know what extremism is? Are we so settled in the truth, both spiritually and intellectually, that we will not be moved? When we are tough-minded about being ready for the Lord Jesus Christ, being ready for heaven, then we will be steadfast in our profession. And so the Apostle Peter is saying, in the light of the fact that Jesus is coming again, I want you to be tough-minded about what you profess to believe. Tough-minded. By the way, one of the best ways for you and me to be tough-minded is to review what we profess to be as Seventh-day Adventist Christians in the first place. And that's why I want to take this opportunity right now to personally invite you to come to these meetings. To not only invite your friends and your loved ones to come, but for you to come. How many times have I heard, how many times I've thought in my mind too, is, well, I've already heard that. I already know that. When the truth is, friends, you don't. You and I need to go over it. You can never know it too well. Hear it again for the first time. Let Jesus Christ be lifted up as you hear the good news of His Word. Well, last of all, number 5, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, right here, right at the very end, it says this. This is beautiful. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. What a great way to end. This verse is telling us to be tough-minded about our progress. Tough-minded about our progress. Aren't these powerful words to end a letter? But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are so many distorted, counterfeit voices out in the world that want your ear. They want your ear. They want you to listen. And unfortunately, we've been listening. And it has changed us. But the good news of the gospel is that you and I can readjust our focus. We can readjust our hearing. And God will forgive. And God will restore. How can we ever allow these voices from taking us off our heavenly goal? How can we ever do that? Because, you see, they are so deceptive. Some of them seem so real. Some of you are soap opera watchers. You love to watch the soap operas. Some of you love to watch Oprah. And you really respect Oprah. And some of what Oprah has to say is pretty good. But did you know that Oprah does not believe in Jesus Christ? She says, oh, Jesus is just one another God. And there's no heaven. There's no God. In fact, God is you. And happiness must begin in you. And there's so many people that love Oprah so much, and they won't miss a television program of Oprah. And they don't know the Word of God. They do not know Jesus Christ and the Word of God. And they're just falling for it because Oprah said it. Oprah said it. It must be right. Peter says, how do we grow? How do we stick in there, friends? Continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we grow. That's the best way to stay steadfast, friends. That's the best way not to lose our first love experience. That's the best way to be rooted and grounded in His Word. God has so much to teach us. So much to teach us. If we are willing to be a learner. There is so much for you and me to learn, even if we live up to 100 years old, as Irene Gilroy has. There's so much to learn every day. When I get in this book, He helps me to grow. You ask my wife, I've got a lot of growing to do. But God is helping me to grow. And He's helping you to grow. And I ask you today, as you search your life, are you growing? Are you a different person today than you were when the beginning of 2007 started? And here we are to this early part of 2008. Are you a different person? Are you growing? 1 Peter chapter 4, as we end our thoughts today. 1 Peter chapter 4. We have just read Peter's last admonition to us as Christian believers in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. And Peter's message to us in effect was this: in the light of the fact that Jesus is coming back, grow in grace into the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But notice now, very similar thought, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. But the end of all is at hand. Again, notice how it motivates us, the fact that Jesus is coming again. There's a heaven to look forward to. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. There it is again. Is there anything that takes more tough-mindedness than the development of a time alone with God? I tell you, friends, that's hard work. That is hard work. And if I was the enemy, I would just do everything I could. And I tell you, he stays up late at night, thinking up ways to keep you and me from having a time alone with God. And he knows. He knows that. And so, Bible study and prayer, friends, that's hard work. And this is what it means to be sober and watch and to pray. I would like to counsel you, please, please, do not wait until you feel like you really want to study the Word of God. Because I know from experience, and you do too, by the way, it won't come. You know, it doesn't happen that way. But take your time alone with the Lord, because out of obedience. And what happens when you and I, out of obedience, are steadfast, and we open His Word, and we seek to know Christ, what's going to happen is that God's going to fill our hearts with love, and with a desire, and with hope, and with excitement. So don't wait for a feeling. Do it! Do it! We need to get tough-minded about it. We've got to say, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to do this. This is important. You see, in order to seek Christ in His Word, in order to seek Christ in prayer, in order to be like Christ, whether it be at work or at school or at play, in private, in order to do this, I am going to do this thing. And if I do this, then I won't have time for this. No thanks. I'm going to put this first. This is my priority. Friends, we need to be tough-minded. This is how we grow. Tough-minded about the Word of God. Tough-minded about our prayer life. And yes, tough-minded about our work in the church. What does it say? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as it is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more, as we see the day approaching. Are you getting the picture of this message today? I hope if we get anything out of this message, may it be this. If you and I truly believe that Jesus is coming again, if you and I long for the day when heaven will be for real, it's a real place for a prepared people, then we will develop a tough-mindedness about how we live now. How we live now. And Jesus is our example, even here. What is it that gave Jesus the ability to be patient amid the abuse on His way to Calvary and to the cross? What is it? Think about it. Study it for yourself. It was because He was tough-minded about seeking strength and power from His Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. And He then went forth to the Calvary. And what is it that kept Him going? What is it that caused Him not to give up for you and me? I'll tell you what it was. The answer is this: Jesus borrowed from the future to go forward to the present. He too was tough-minded about heaven. Amen? He was. He knew that one day He would not wear a crown of thorns, but He would wear a crown of glory. He knew that one day He would not wear that cast-off purple robe that Pilate had once, but He would come as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, clothed in the righteousness that was His as God. Jesus was tough-minded about heaven, and so should we. My friends, don't be a spiritual drifter. Be heavenly-minded. Know where you're going, and it will influence your everyday life. I would invite you to reveal from your hearts that you truly want to be tough-minded for Jesus, tough-minded about heaven. And sing, as I would invite you to stand, Lord, I want to be ready. I want to live my life because I really believe that one day I'm going to spend eternity with you. And I want to become tough-minded about heaven. If that is your decision, if that is your desire, I would invite you to stand with me right now. Praise God. Praise God. Let's pray. Precious Lord, I know your Holy Spirit has helped many here to listen to this message. And as we search our hearts and we're honest to your Holy Spirit, there somehow we find ourselves not thinking about being tough-minded about heaven, but we've been tough-minded about living in the world and trying to do this or trying to do that and forgetting why we're really here. Forgetting the fact that this world really isn't our home. That we're longing and working towards the day when you will come again and take us home. But in the meantime, Father, we thank you for the preciousness of your word, the truthfulness of your word, and we would ask that you would help us by the help of your Spirit to so keep our eyes fixed on Christ, our relationship with him in his word, so that we can really honor what your word teaches, to be tough-minded about being ready for heaven. In Jesus' name.